With us today, we say it every week, I mean it, you're not here by mistake, you're here by design. God has a reason for you being here today, and it is not just a saying for me. I hope you realize it every week, and I say it, I pray it all week long for those who are going to be here, though I have no clue who's going to show up on any given Sunday. I know that you're not here by mistake. God has a reason for you being here today. That's what he says in his word, that when we get together, there's a reason for us being together, and his spirit rests within us. I wonder what this day or this weekend is to you. We come to Memorial Day. I was talking to some even before the service. What do you say? Happy Memorial Day? Merry Memorial Day? Morose Memorial Day? Or it's Memorial Day. I don't know what this weekend means to you. For some, it's just a barbecue day, a picnic day, a day at the lake, a holiday, a day off from work. And in fact, I wonder at times how many people, especially some of our younger people, even know the significance, really, of what Memorial Day is really all about. And I don't know that any of us know, really can grasp the price that has been paid on this day for the freedoms that we have. Because I think so many times we take them for granted. We take them for granted, therefore we lose them so easily. We give them up so easily, the freedoms that we have. Memorial Day started in the Civil War, and as it was told that the women would go out and put graves on the military funeral, on the grave sites of the military fallen. Be they from the North or South, it didn't matter. They would put flowers in Decoration Day. And in World War I, it became known as a national holiday and became Memorial Day, where we memorialize those. I want to take just a minute. We're going to show a video just to really honor this Memorial Day, what it really means and why we remember and what it really means to us. So if you'll dim the lights down there and run the video just for a few seconds here, watch this video.
Of our fallen heroes, of our nation's finest. To remember is to honor, the ultimate sacrifice that millions have paid so that future generations might be free. Remembrance imparts dignity to the sacrifices made and the ones who made them. Remembrance defines purpose for why so many fought and so many died. Remembrance reflects our values, from the ideals that guide us to the gratitude that humbles us. Remembrance creates a legacy for the men and women who've died and the inalienable God-given rights their sacrifices preserved. From revolution to preservation, in times of uncertainty and clarity, when our nation called, the brave responded. The courageous fought. And some gave it all. For our safety. For our rights. For our civilization. For our freedom. Is why we remember.
To remember. I did a funeral recently. At the end of that funeral, there was a military honors given to this man. It happens a lot. Many of you are veterans, and you may have military honors at yours. But I remember I was standing up front, and the gentleman came up. He was from VFW, older, probably in his 70s. And he stood and he faced the casket, which was draped with a flag, and he saluted. I happened to be in front, the audience was behind. As he stood and saluted that flag, they played taps. And I saw tears stream down this man's face. Afterwards, I went to him and I said, sir, I, I appreciate your service and your sacrifice. I appreciate you for paying honor to a fallen comrade. And he looked at me and says, I remember. I'm still there. And this is my brother, though I never knew him. We remember. Memories are great in Sunset. Just such a wonderful gift. You say, well, how can that be a wonderful gift? Because within that, we have memories within that. For the good memories, they bring such joy. I mean, when we have memories of such great things, you know the joy that it brings. And some say, yeah, but not all memories are joyful. No, some are sad. But even in the sad memories, our sad memories are what helps bring us sensitivity to others. In those times in our lives when we've been through sad things, it makes us empathetic towards those who are going through sad things. So even in that, that memory is a good thing, that we have that memory. You say, yeah, but what about the bad things? Some of you have had terrible things happen to your life. Do you realize that even in the bad memories, there's great lessons to be learned that you can take and apply to others? And God is with you even in those moments of the bad memories that were created. Some people are identified. We looked at that last week, that some are identified by the events in their life, and it becomes them. And yet God says we need to look at that from the good to the sad to the bad and give glory to God in all of them. And in some of those cases, we don't want to let any of those events identify us, and yet many times we need to step back and make the memorials of those. Those reminders as memorials to an event. Not having selective memory, but really as an event or of a person, as we remember and as we have that memory, that we look at the lessons to be learned, we looked at the empathy we can live, and we can rejoice with the good things, the memorials that took place. Why do we need memorials? Lest we forget. Lest we forget. See, that's the problem. Believe it or not, we can forget. Oh, I'm not just talking about dementia. Where all of a sudden, you know, I'm with my kids and people, I'm spending a lot of money making short-term memories. That's supposed to be a joke, folks. It's going, you know. And yet, lest we forget within that process, and that's the problem, we can forget. We may not forget the event, per se, but we may forget the lessons learned from them. We may forget the situation surrounding them. Because we'll let that event, good or bad, identify us, and pretty soon we forget the real lessons and the real events surrounding it. God himself told the people of Israel to make memorials. Paul just mentioned a number of those memorials as he introduced the song. We see the name of Jesus in that process of, he said, remember, you need to remember this name, remember this. As Paul said, as he led the people out of Egypt, he said, celebrate the Passover, and they still do to this day celebrate the Passover, the Jewish faith. Being delivered from bondage. Yesterday it rained. Our friends from Oregon brought rain with them down here. I don't know about you, but sometimes you can look up there and you can see a rainbow. That's a memorial that God gave. That was a memorial that God gave to remember an awesome God and a generation that was wicked. God gave the memorial. So this is going to be a sign. That's a memory. Don't forget. That's what he's saying. We celebrate communion. Corinthians says, do this in remembrance of me. Every time you eat and drink of this cup, remember the name of Jesus. Remember the death of Christ. Remember the birth of Christ. Remember the rebirth of the Lord Jesus when he rose from that grave to conquer, lest we forget. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 to 12, he says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. He was forecasting here that soon you're going to be going into the promised land. They've been wandering around for 40 years. And he's reminding them, saying, hey, listen, you're going to walk into the land that I'm going to give you. And you're going to inherit a lot of good things. You did not do anything for it. It was a gift by God. It was a gift from an awesome God. And they were soon to be going into the promised land. So he gives them this warning. Don't forget. Don't forget how it all took place. Don't forget that you had remember the lessons that you learned for 40 years of wandering around. Remember the lessons that when you walk in this place and you're all satisfied and your stomach's full and you just had a wonderful church service and you're just praising Jesus and your emotions are high. Don't forget God. When things are going great and you're satisfied, don't forget how and why. and to memorialize this event, because soon they were going to go into the promised land. In Joshua chapter 4, verses 4 to 7, we see this now. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. The stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." He said here, he warned them, when you cross over the Jordan and you take this land, houses you didn't build, olive orchards, vineyards you didn't plant, but he created the memorials, and now you're going through the Ark of the Covenant. They crossed over the Jordan. He says, take 12 stones, make a memorial. Ebenezer, right there. Here I raise my Ebenezer, this memorial, to remember, lest we forget. So that when your kids look back, they will say, "What's that all about? That's a memorial. Why are we even around this nation have memorials set up so that people in the next generation will remember?" They were creating a memorial to remember and honor God. And there are some things I think today that we need to remember. And there's so many things in the Word that God says to remember. But I want to just point out a few today that I think we need to remember today. The first, I think, and you may say, "Well, that's..." I think you need to remember, listen to me, the moment of your salvation. Let me just share a pastor's heart here. I will ask people at times, "When did you come to know Christ?" Some of you have given me this answer, and it troubles me. I'm not the judge of it, but it troubles me when the answer comes back, "Oh, I have always known Christ." Or, "I have always known God." I'm not trying to create a doubt in anybody. You may not remember the exact date or the exact time. That's not a problem. But is there a moment when either immediately you realized you needed a Savior, or after a process? Some of you are here today. As I've talked to you, you are seeking this thing of Christ. You're seeking that. You're wanting to find out what it's really all about. And after that process, at some point, there has to become a moment when you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you are a sinner in need of a Savior and Christ died for you. I don't know that everybody knows the exact date or the exact moment. But it bothers me because there needs to be that conscious choice of giving your life to Christ. There are no grandkids in heaven. There are no environmental Christians in heaven. What do I mean by that? I'm not talking about going green. I'm talking about there's no environment. Just because you were raised in a Christian environment does not make you a Christian. You must have that. And so I think you need to remember and you need to process in your mind, am I a Christian by culture or am I a Christian because of a new birth that we've looked at over the last few weeks with the big words and bigger meanings? I'm not trying to cast doubt, but there has to be that issue. It's not because your parents, your grandparents, it's not because of this church or a religion or your faithfulness to church or your faithfulness to thinking good things or your faithfulness to watching Joel Osteen on the Bible, on the boob tube. It's not any of that. It is the issue of you coming to know Christ personally. And I think we need to remember the moment of salvation. Why? Because I need to remember the moment of what I was, to remember the environment so I look back and say, where would I have been without Christ? Where was I without Christ? I need to look back and say, man, that's when God intersected my life and my life was changed completely. I was a new creation. And then I look at the moment of my salvation and say, look at what God has done in that process to look back and see this faith history, to know that moment. I think we also need to remember God's truth. We need to remember God's truth. We need to know God's truths. We need to know that this word can change our lives, can change our mind. I was able yesterday to share with a person saying, listen, you want to change your heart, you want to change your mind, there's only one way, especially in the environment you find yourself in. It is in this word. In this word is the only way you are going to change your heart and mind, because it is living and powerful. Thinking good thoughts aren't going to do it. It is taking God's word, putting it in your heart, and applying it. We need to remember God's truths. I think it's great because one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, verse 26 says that the Holy Spirit is going to illumine your mind. He is going to bring all these things to remembrance. The truths that God gives us, the word that he says, man, have you ever been in a conversation and you say, man, God, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say. And all of a sudden, bam, there it is. Why? Because the Spirit of God brought to your mind, illuminated in your mind the truth that needs to be said. I don't even know where that came from, but boy, wasn't it right. Yeah, because God's Spirit alone. We need to remember God's truths. And we have the memorial. The memorial is right here. We have this to look into daily and to look at that. We need to remember God's priorities in our life. God's priorities. And it's such an easy way to throw it out there. Yeah, I remember the priorities. We need to set priorities every day. Get up, make your little list. Here's the priorities of my day. But the bigger umbrella of our priorities, to seek God first, Matthew 6, to seek God first. The priority of our life. Is the priority of our life today a job? And you hear me say this often, and sometimes I wish I could kick you in the blessed assurance and say, do you hear what I'm saying here? Because we have our priorities so screwed up. You will let jobs, you will let significance factors, you will let playthings take priority over your life. When he says to seek first the kingdom of God, don't seek first the significance of a job. And we need to remember God's priorities. What are some of the priorities? Especially, you talked about Mark chapter 12, verse 29 to 31. The most important one, he says, they asked him, what's the greatest commandment? Here he says, Jesus answered, is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. When we say the priority of our life, what do we love more than God? You say, oh, I love God the most. Maybe if we really wanted to step on toes this morning and say, where's the majority of our time go? Uh-oh. Where do we find significance in? Is it loving the Lord and loving our neighbor and loving ourselves in a proper view of self-love? How do we view ourselves properly? To realize that God gives you value. It's not arrogance. It's not loving myself, puffing myself up as a boy, aren't I something? Aren't I that and a whole bag of chips? Woo-hoo! No. It was when I realized that God loves me. He gave me value. He redeemed me. He changed me. And when I see the value that God's given to me, it becomes so much easier to love my neighbor. Because who am I to withhold love from him when I see how much God has loved me? We must have that issue of remembering God's priorities. Sometimes, at every funeral that I do, it's the one thing I tell every family, I will include in every service I do, is that I believe we must take this moment to take inventory of our life. Every service I do. And we need to do that today, to take inventory of our life. What am I investing my life in? What is it that I'm investing my life in? Is it the relationships that we have? Or the things that are my job or my hobbies or my wants more important than other priorities that need to be more important? And how do we come to the mind saying, God, I'm willing to give up whatever's not on me. I'm willing to give that up. I think we also need to remember the sacrifice of others. We looked at the video. Today, Memorial Day, we think of those who are men and women who have given their lives for our country. And yet Hebrews 12 talks about that we have such a great cloud of witnesses. This many have died for the cause of Christ. We need to remember the sacrifice of others, even today. You know, we are sheltered here from the truth of martyrdom around the world. But it's happening today that people are dying for their faith in other countries. Dying for bearing the name of Christ. Dying because they will switch from one religious or one faith to come to know Christ as their Savior and their life is taken. VOM, Voice of Martyrs, they send the thing out of people around the world who are dying for their faith. We need to remember the sacrifice of others. We are sheltered here and we are blessed here, but we need to realize around the world people still pay a price for bearing the name of Christ. I think also, though, we need to remember that Christ is coming again, because I think we easily forget that. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 to 18. In this process, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the air, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Encourage you. Listen. Christ is going to return. This is going to end. The memorial that he says is you look towards the heaven because it's going to end. He's coming again. And when he comes again, we better know him and know his truth. I believe all this is found in one passage. As I studied, I came across this psalm, adding so much about remembrance and priorities, remembrance of sacrifice, remembrance of what Christ has done, that we live in the wonder of knowing God every day. That wonder, dangerous wonder of knowing God, is found in this passage, Psalms 111. It says, "Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever." Aren't you glad that he made a covenant with himself for us, and he remembers that covenant forever? "He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and first and just, and all his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name." Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise." The greatest memorial you can establish today is a memorial in your heart. To remember the Lord, to remember what he's done in your life, and to live your life as a legacy honoring him. To let others see, to others know him. What is today to you? Remember today, Psalm 111, what God has done, what God has promised. To remember your memorial moments when you've seen God work, when you've trusted him and he's been faithful, when he changed your life. If you don't have the memorial of him changing your life, right now needs to be this day, right now, May 27th, 2012. You give him your life today, he will change you completely. Let's pray. Father, as we come this morning, I am grateful and I am thankful for the men and women who have served our country as we celebrate those who have paid all. But Father, I pray today that as well as we remember and as we memorialize those, that Father, we will realize as well that there are spiritual memorials that we need to make, that we need to remember the way you change us, the way you take us and you mold us and you frame us. God, may we remember today the sacrifice of those who have gone before us. May we remember today the priorities of our life. May we remember today the moment of our salvation and understand how you change. If there's someone here who doesn't know you as their Savior, if they're seeking, I pray at some point they will come to give you their life. I thank you for that name that is above every name. That at that name, every knee shall bow. Every knee. Because there's just something about it. I pray that we will truly understand that. I pray that we will truly know that. And that we will live that name in our life. For it's in your Son's name we pray.